weekend hangover, that one will jolt you out of bed. Won't put you in a good mood, but it'll wake you up. Hey, welcome aboard the Amy Beth Arkley Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? Made it through the big weekend, the food, the family, the shopping? We'll tilt into the holiday season. We'll talk holiday flavors, shopping, and catch up on the free-flow pop culture convo. Get you in the line, too, if you're listening live. Happy December 2nd. Thank you very much. Yeah, you know you're in serious business once we cross that December threshold. 9 a.m. out west, 11 central, noon here in the east. The number up and running, 347-857-4505. Twitter feed available, too, at AB Writes. The show today brought to you in part by Stacy's Pita Chips. Entertain the Stacy way. By Burlington Coat Factory. It's warmth, style, and comfort with great savings this holiday season at Burlington Coat Factory. And by PopNet, arts, culture, conversation, on air, online, 24/7, the new improved PopNet. So I think it's a good time to sort of kick back and enjoy some music. That kind of relaxes folks, too, or gets you going, either way. We're going to talk with Brandon Stoner. He is the front man for the up-and-coming alternative rock band called Thieves and Lovers. Love that name. Love their sound. We'll talk inspiration, aspirations, and, of course, the music business with Brandon in just a moment. First, though, let's hear the first single from their self-titled EP, Thieves and Lovers. This one's called Sex and Cigarettes. It's an intriguing breakfast to open up the Tuesday edition of the Amy Beth Arkley Show. Cigarettes on the Amy Beth Arkley Show. Let's meet the front man of this new band, Brandon Stoner. Hey, Brandon, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Amy, for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Let's talk a little bit. First of all, how'd you guys come up with the name Thieves and Lovers? It's kind of an intriguing name for a band.
You know, it was just a name that I had sitting around, and I always liked it, and I was coming up with these songs that had sound, and I felt that the name really paired well with the kind of sound that we were going for.
Yeah, very cool. It's catchy. It works, I think. What's your inspirations? I mean, you guys have been in, you're out in California. Is this where you're from originally, or did you migrate out there?
I migrated. I'm actually from a town very close to Baltimore,
okay.
in South Central Pennsylvania, and I've been here for about 6 years, and I love it.
Now, what was the impetus for moving? You just figured it was a better music scene out there, or you went to school? I mean, what was there a reason why you decided to move to California? Or?
There were some relationships that kind of ended, and I felt that it was just kind of time to turn the page. And I came out here on vacation and really liked it, and just made it happen.
And you stayed. Yeah, cool. Good for you. So let's talk about your inspirations. As a kid growing up, what were the kinds of songs and bands you were listening to, and how did that evolve over the years for you?
I was actually very fortunate. In my hometown, there was an awesome radio station called The Revolution. It was a rock format, but they played all kinds of stuff. So I would hear, growing up as a child, I got into music around 12. And I would hear, like, Blink-182 and then Led Zeppelin and then Vertical Horizon and then Guns N' Roses. So I
got a good education of, like, you know, classic rock.
Yeah, I was exposed to a lot of different kinds of sounds.
And you just sort of synthesize it organically. You know, it's what it,
yeah.
you kind of take it all in, and whatever sticks comes out, and obviously comes out through your own prism, your own talent, you know, your own time, and you get what you get. And you hooked up with your compadres in Thieves and Lovers, and I guess they bring their own talents and insights and sensibilities to the table, too. Yeah. I mean, what have you thought about? Did you do solo work, too? I mean, because working in a band, there's a lot of collaboration that goes on. There's a lot of negotiation. I think you have to have some good diplomatic skills sometimes, you know, to kind of work around all the personalities and egos and that kind of thing.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I'm in another band called Rook's Empire. I play lead guitar. And the Thieves and Lovers recording that you played was actually my final project. I was in recording school. It was my final project. There's three songs on the EP. And I kind of put it to bed after I graduated. And then I revisited the tracks, and I was like, the world has to hear this. Like, I just really believed in the songs. I found a great mix engineer in San Francisco called Scott Goodrich. And I couldn't be happier with the sound.
Yeah, cool. Good for you. You just went for it. I mean, I think there's a lot of that now, where people feel free to just do their own projects, and there's more access to things in terms of studios and digital, you know, downloading and access to the internet, and really you can do your own grassroots marketing and that kind of thing. So people are, you don't have to wait around to get signed by a big label if there are any such things anymore. The record industry has changed so much over the years. But
It's a shadow of former self.
Yeah. I mean, talk about the pros and the cons of that, because clearly you're empowered to go for it yourself, but the downside is making your way through the clutter of everybody else trying to put their stuff out there, too. Talk about the experience of how do you get recognized and get your name out there and get your sound to the audience, to grow the audience.
You know, I would just say that you just have to keep going for it. And one of the downsides to the current state of the industry, it is very possible to really DIY your whole way through. The problem is when it comes to things like touring, which is going to increase your visibility, it can be hard to do that without financial backing, someone to bankroll your endeavor. And there's a ton of, like, great indie labels. But it is really tough. It's a struggle. And especially in Southern California, where the market is so saturated, it can be very difficult to stand out.
So what kinds of things are you guys doing?
Well, we were planning some touring for the end of this year, but I kind of had to rearrange some things. So we're planning a new record in 2015 and touring around Southern California.
And good solid word of mouth. And as we said, the internet also, people can become overnight sensations with YouTube and all this kind of stuff. So you never know. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, there's a lot of me.
As you said, just keep doing it, and hopefully you'll hit the right notes, no pun intended, with enough people. And that's kind of good. And just loving your sound and just loving it. What's the aspirations here? I mean, as you said, you're just starting out, you're going to do touring. Do you have some vision for the band, vision for your career? As you said, you're also working in another band. So is that something that's pretty common when people are starting out and, you know, kind of do a couple of different, you know, to get different gigs and so forth?
You know, I have kind of just surrendered all my expectations, and I'm just really trying to live in the moment and take it one day at a time. Because I do love music. It's definitely my thing, my passion, but, you know, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I understand.
Okay. So you don't really have a game plan at this point.
I'm just
going to
keep going for it. And since I released it in September, it has things have gotten steadily better. I use that as motivation.
Right.
It's not like
just
a dead-in-the-water kind of project, you know?
Right. Well, if nothing is ever dead in the water, because even if it seems like it's dead in the water, then you do the next one, and then suddenly the one before might get attention too. You know that. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
The work is there, so it's always something to go back to. I always tell people, just do your work, do the best work you can do, and you put it out there, and you don't know. It might not be the right time for it. The time might be 2 years from now, but it can, you know. It's like the overnight sensations are rarely overnight sensations. It's, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
People just heard of
you
now, but
about
20
a decade
years.
In the making.
Yeah, exactly. It took you 20 years in the trenches, but here you are. but yeah, I mean, you gotta love it. You gotta keep the passion going. I mean, that's part of it too. Is just really loving it.
Mm-hmm.
What are your inspirations to writing songs and creating it? What do you draw from, and how do you do it? Do you do lyrics first and then music, or at the same time? And are you the one only writing the songs, or do you have a collaborator in your band?
Actually, this is kind of a solo project right now. I have other musicians that I jam with, but it's not like a full-on band. Like that.
Right. But if
and
you
I
tour,
actually
you're
played
want to
on the recording, I did everything, including the engineering.
Yeah, wow. See? That's very impressive. Okay, very cool. All right. But when you tour, you're planning on bringing some guys with you, obviously.
Yeah. I don't like to be up on stage by myself. I like the camaraderie, you know.
Yeah, all right. So you wrote all the songs yourself. So what is the process like for you in terms of creating the songs? Do you have an idea that just pops into your head? Do you nurse it for a while? Do you get a lyric? Do you get a melody first? How does it go?
For me, since I am a guitar player first and foremost, that's usually where it starts. And then I'll try and just sing along to it, maybe record it and listen back so I can come up with melodies and not have to play.
Okay.
But yeah, it starts and ends with guitar for me.
And where do you get the lyrics from?
They just kind of come out. I usually revise lyrics a few times before it's put out into the world.
Right. Well, sure. That's the old adage, writing is rewriting, applies to songwriting as much as it does for, you know, books or anything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know the old Paul McCartney story with Yesterday, which is probably the most famous or the most recorded single, I guess, of all time. It was originally called Scrambled Eggs because he didn't have a lyric. He just had the melody.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was like the placeholder title, you know, the placeholder lyric, and then he came up with it. So, yeah, I mean, whatever works. I mean, I think that's always so fun and intriguing about the creative process is it's kind of ethereal. You're not really sure where it all comes from. But when it comes, you got to go for it, and then you have to refine it. That's where the work comes in. You know,
yeah,
it's not always going to be instantly handed to you. You got the basic idea, but then you got to shape it and craft it and do that. And you seem to be doing all of these things, you know, writing it, recording it, and putting it out into the world. So there are a lot of different talents you got to have and a lot of different hats you have to juggle, which is,
mm-hmm.
you know, we said before, that can be very empowering for you to be in charge, but it also, you know, can be a little daunting if you're not sure where to go. And I guess there's a learning curve, right? I mean, you're learning how to go and how to prepare and set up a tour and all that stuff that you were talking about before, I'm guessing, yes?
Yeah.
I wish you the best. It sounds like it's going to be an intriguing endeavor. You got a new new album coming out after this. This is a short EP, which is like your calling card to the world. And then you have another album coming out, you think, or you're going to do touring first and then the album.
I'm going to do some local touring in Southern California. But for the next record, I was thinking I'd really like to do an LP, full-length record.
Yep.
I have more than enough material, so I'm pretty sure that's going to be what I'm shooting for, to build up a budget, maybe do like a Kickstarter kind of thing, and really just make it sound like it should.
That's the new way a lot of people are going. What is your take? It's interesting that you want to do a full-length album because a lot of people talk about how there are no albums anymore because people are always buying, like, singles and you don't really have that experience that you had back in the 70s, 80s, maybe even 90s. What is your take on that? Because really albums gave you a chance to really get to know the artist and get into the the deepness of the music in a lot of ways that you don't necessarily get if you get a single that you get on Spotify or wherever.
No, I agree. I think the hardcore music fans are still in an album-oriented mindset, but the industry really has gone back to like a 50s model where it was about singles and B-sides.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, it's true, because you can straddle, and I guess as you go, too, you can straddle both worlds. I mean, if you can get attention on a more mainstream, bigger scale, that's great, but you can also, with social media, cultivate your own audience that wants these things and wants, because as you said, there are hardcore fans who do want that. People want stuff. The only problem is a lot of times people, with the way the internet works, people want stuff for free. So you have to worry about giving away all your stuff sometimes. And, you know, give them a sampler, but don't give them the whole thing, I guess.
A lot of the bigger artists are kind of standing up. I know Taylor Swift just released a new record, and the anti-piracy campaign is crazy. They are on their game.
Yeah.
I respect
that. Yeah, no, she did take a real stand. I think that was very good. Not so much for her because she doesn't really need it, but for the theory that artists are worth something and you should pay for the art, and certainly for up-and-coming folks like you to say, hey, you know, you should get paid. You should get compensated. And free is great, but you should also support your artists and your people you like, too. I think that's an important lesson for people, but it's hard in the marketplace that has been created by the internet, I think, because it's hard to go back. It's like websites, too. When they start putting up like a paywall subscription, people are resistant to that because they're so used to getting it for free. So it's just difficult once you give a free model to pull back on that. But, you know, it can be done. And you got to change the mindset, I think, of the audience and listeners. And if you bring them something they want, you know, it's worth it to them. I mean, we're not talking about paying probably at this point for digital downloads. It wouldn't be as much as when we used to go out and get albums for whatever they were at the time. But I guess vinyl is making a bit of a comeback, too, which is intriguing. Have you heard about that, and what's your take on that?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
I was saying vinyl has also kind of had a little bit of resurgence in the recent years. What's your take on that?
I'm actually a huge collector of vinyl. I'm a big fan. I really dig the old, like I was saying, like Led Zeppelin, Guns N' Roses on vinyl. It's just, there's a quality to it. And part of that goes into the recording and pressing process, because a lot of bands now that release vinyl, it's just a digital recording pressed to a vinyl. So a bit of that analog magic is kind of lost in translation. But artists like Jack White, Ryan Adams are like pressing their own vinyls, all analog, which is really cool.
And it does sound different. There's definitely a difference to it.
Yeah,
very cool.
It's definitely warmer.
Even the imperfections, you know, you want to hear some of those imperfections. That's kind of part of it.
Yeah, that's what makes music connected experience, human mistakes.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. What about, so how do you feel about, you're talking about connectiveness, what's your feeling about performing? I mean, do you like performing more, the same, not as much as recording?
They're different. I love to play live, and I planning on touring with both of my bands this year. But recording is really where you put everything under the microscope, you see what works, what doesn't, and you really do come out a better player with better songs.
But the performing, you get the energy from the audience, and it's a different kind of, it's the here and now, living in the moment, like you said, experience, right?
Yeah, total adrenaline.
Yeah. You got both cooking, and that's important. I wish you the best. I think you got a big future. Hang in there. Keep doing it. You got to love the passion. That's the key. We have
always
one more song called Thieves. I want you to give us, you have a setup for this one?
It's the first track on the album. It's an instrumental, and I literally just was doing takes in the studio, one takers for everything. It just kind of came out in one session.
It just came. Cool. Brandon Stoner, a pleasure talking with you. If people want to find out more from you, I know you're working on a website, you said. The best way would be, what, through your Facebook and Twitter pages? Give us where we can find out more about your stuff.
Yeah, you can contact us on Facebook or Twitter. We also have a Bandcamp, which is thievesandlovers.bandcamp.com.
Okay.
And
right, I'm gonna put
you can check out both of our records on there.
Perfect. I'll put up both of those, all those links, via my social media, Thieves and Lovers. Brandon Stoner is the front man, the mind behind it all. I thank you so much for joining us. I wish you the best, and I hope you come back and see us again.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. Take care. Here's Brandon Stoner and Thieves and Lovers, Thieves, on the Amy Bithurk Machine. Brandon Stoner and Thieves and Lovers, Thieves, from their self-titled EP. Find out more, reach them at Twitter, at Thieves and Lovers, with an N, and also at Facebook. We'll put up their Bandcamp web address on social media as well. We've got a new website coming out, too. Thieves and Lovers, I think they have a big future ahead. It is the end of the third week here. Reach out via Twitter at AB Writes. If you're listening live, of course, you can call us, too, at 347-857-4505. Nixie chiming in via Twitter says, another good interview, a great way with the young talent, AB, really enjoyed it. All right, thank you, Nixie. So how was your weekend go? Did you indulge in our grateful bounty, The Leftovers 2? It was a lot of fun. Thanks so much for the great feedback. We always have fun putting those shows together, although they take a lot of work, so Trudy and Aurora are a little tuckered out from the experience, especially pulling out The Leftovers from last year. They were in the deep freeze, but they worked. In the holiday schedule, we've got a couple of best ofs, too, coming up. I think we'll revisit our Arts Wire pick interview with Tony Quantro either this coming Friday or next week. We're still juggling the schedule. Our Jolly Holiday special is coming up in another week or so as well, featuring all your favorites and holiday classics that are some humor and fun. Carla Kaplan joins us next Tuesday. She's the author of the fascinating book, Miss Anne in Harlem. It's about the white women who were part of the Black Renaissance in the Jazz Age. We'll talk with her next Tuesday. So lots of fun coming up in the offing as we have our big holiday season in full bloom, as they say. What have you done? Have you done all your shopping? I'll tell you, of course, as usual, I don't do Black Friday. No, didn't do that. Didn't do Small Business Saturday. Didn't do Cyber Monday. And I'm not so sure I'm going to do Giving Tuesday either. I'm not the Grinch. No. I already started some of my shopping. I just do it on different days. And I already started some of my charitable giving, too. I just don't like to go with the crowd, if you know what I mean. But if it works for you, it works for you. I know they were complaining that the Black Friday sales were down. Of course, it was sort of like, you know, listed on their own petard. Because a lot of these big box stores opened up on Thursday and Thanksgiving when they normally wouldn't be open. So they had some extra Thanksgiving shopping and a downward turn on Black Friday. Not sure how Cyber Monday fared. But a little known secret. There are still more sales out there. Still lots more goods and still a bunch of days left to get your shopping done. So have at it. But pace yourself. And don't go crazy with the credit cards or the cash. Probably better off with cash than credit cards. Credit cards are a big convenience, and, of course, a lot of people use it, unfortunately, to spend more than they can. But in terms of, you know, being afraid of getting hacked and getting your identity stolen, it's probably better to have cash, but who the heck wants to walk around with wads of cash either? Then you have the pickpockets to deal with. Oh, for goodness sakes, you can't pay cash. Too bad you can't pay with cash on the Internet, right? It is the end of the Third Week Show. Reach out to us here at the studio line, 347-857-4505, Twitter feed, 2 at AB Writes. Shay chiming in, I didn't do any of my shopping, and I'm panicking, she says. Well, don't panic, as I said. You still got plenty of time. Need to do. And I guess we got to roll out a holiday song just for the fun of it. Let's do it. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Got a little Jingle Bell Shop for Shay and Bobby Helms on the Amoeba Thargoy Show.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell time and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air, what a bright time. It's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time is a swell time to go gliding in the one horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling feet. That's the jingle bell rock. Go. go gliding in the one horse lane. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet, jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling feet. That's the jingle bell, that's the jingle bell, that's the jingle bell rock.
Shop for Christmas at the grand opening of Northside Mall. Unfortunately, we forgot to build parking lots, so we have only 36 curbside parking spaces. So come in, spend all you can, then beat it.
We're having Christmas sales galore. Come shop at Northside Mall. But parking space is limited, 3 dozen spots, that's all. So bring in all the dough you have, shop fast and spend it all. Then please leave and free up your parking space. Give us a break, then please leave and free up your parking space.
Northside Mall, 75 stores, 36 parking spaces. Please get in and get out.
Show. Question is, which list are you on, naughty or nice? And if you're playing Santa, do you have the right list? According to psychologist Frieda Birnbaum, what your holiday shopping list reveals about you, not so surprising, actually. Not so surprising. The smartphone and the smartwatch, people who receive such gadgets are more on the cutting edge of the latest in technology. They're trendsetters. They want to be the first, or at least they don't want to miss out on what everyone is getting. Remote toys? Well, they're not just for kids. A lot of guys like to play with remote toys as well, like robots, flying fish, just to name a few. These guys are kids at heart. Gifts that involve experiences. Now, this is kind of cool. You know, for someone who says they have everything and don't like to get gifts, maybe think about doing something like a baking cookie experience or camping, hiking, movies, concerts, or plays. That's for someone who prefers connecting and doing something as a gift. Gifts for women, this is kind of the dreary end of the list. Flowers, jewelry, chocolate. Well, not so much jewelry, I guess. But it seems, she says, Dr. Birnbaum, that is, says that it seems that often the one involved with her looks gets the jewelry, and the one that needs to lose a few pounds gets the chocolate. But she says the reason is we try to give what we think the person wants, and in this case, it would be good to give what works. So that means what? Give a Jenny Craig certificate to the person who needs to lose weight? I don't think so. That wouldn't be good. No. How about tools? Men love tools, according to Dr. Birnbaum. It makes them feel macho and that they have a purpose. Okay. Your take. Remember, that was Dr. Birnbaum's theory. It's not necessarily mine. What's on your list this year, and do you think you'll get what you want? Let us know via Twitter at AB Rights and the phone line 2347-857-4505. I'm hitching my sleigh. Lady Ella.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy-yap, 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 let's go. Let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland of snow. Giddy-yap, 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 it's grand. Just holding your hand. We're gliding along with the song of a wintry fairyland. Our cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy cozy, are we? We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be. Let's take that road before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Gliding along with the song of a wintry fairyland. Our cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy and cozy are we. We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be. Let's take that road before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Oh, yeah. Sleigh ride. Lady Ella will be dipping into Ella Wishes You a Swingin' Christmas a lot this season, for sure. On the Amy Beth Arkley Show with the Twitter feed at AB Writes, Tanya said, "Oh, I love those holiday sounds. Play some more." We will throughout the season, and, of course, our Jolly Holiday Special coming up in a couple of weeks, I guess. You know, it just zips by this holiday season. And Pearlie says, halfway through my list, but it keeps growing. Yeah, that's the problem. You know, you think you're making headway with your holiday shopping list, and all of a sudden you think of other things you want to get or other people you want to add. I just say pace yourself. Don't do it all in one day. I'm not one of those people that likes to wait till the last day. There are some people who love Christmas Eve, the last day, the possible moment. They love to go out there with the adrenaline. It's like the same thing with the Black Friday shoppers. The madness. People just thrive on it. Some folks do. I personally don't care for it, but do what works for you. But I say pace yourself, especially if you have a lot of things on your list. and a lot of things to juggle in terms of other things happening this time of year with parties and other obligations you might have with your family and friends and coworkers, those kinds of things, where that's where the holiday stress can kind of take over. And we'll talk a bit about that as we get into it. But the best thing to do is to just pace yourself and give yourself some time to relax and decompress and take care of yourself. Get plenty of rest and drink plenty of water and maybe keep the junk food at bay after we had our big overindulgence weekend. And still eating the leftovers. But they're delicious, aren't they? Mm-hmm, indeed. All right, reach out via Twitter, Davey Wright. Studio line 2 available if you're listening live on Tuesday, December 2nd, 347-857-4505. We did lose a couple of luminaries in the last week or so. Over the weekend, this past weekend, we learned the death of P.D. James, the famed British crime novelist who really had such a gritty realism in her 18 books. Well-respected. She didn't start writing in earnest until her 40s, or at least publishing books. She was a civil service employee all her life. Since her teens, she's held a series of pretty high-level jobs while caring for her family and harboring those ambitions to write. She was the administrator of an outpatient psychiatric clinic for the National Health Service in London, and later an administrator in the police department's forensic science section. So she got all those great rich details that came up in her books that were brimming with vivid and gruesome details, ravaged corpses and blood and all kinds of things. So it wasn't really a cozy that she wrote. She had those really riveting stories, but famous for just vivid and beautiful writing. And, of course, Adam Dalgliesh, some of those series, books were made into PBS, or BBC, I guess, did the dramatization. They were carried on here in the States, on the PBS mystery series. One of her famous quotes was, "Let those who want pleasant murders read Agatha Christie," she said in a lecture. "Murder isn't pleasant. It's an ugly thing and a cruel thing, and murder in the isolated country house with the snow piled up outside just isn't real." So she wasn't a fan of our beloved cozies. I myself tend more towards writing the cozies, but I like reading all kinds of things, and including P.D. James. Her book's adroit pacing and pervading aura of menace made her one of the finest, most absorbing craftsmen of the profession. She really did have that attention to detail and propelled that prose along. She dispensed with many conventions of the British mystery trade, the genteel setting among teacups and vicar's gardens, the breezy patter, and the quirky, eccentric amateur detective, such as Arthur Conan Doyle, Sherlock Holmes, and Dorothy Sayers, Lord Peter Wimsey. Her work was grittier and more realistically prosaic at the same time. Very interesting indeed. P.D. James passed away at the age of 94. And also last week, earlier in the week, we learned of the passing of Mike Nichols, the famed director. Boy, oh boy, did he have a career. Mike Nichols started out as a comedian and writer along with his partner Elaine May, those classic 1950s, I guess, 1950s, maybe early 60s, up until the early 60s, comedy bits and records. Wow. And then went on to be a theatrical and film director of so many notable films. I mean, think about what his body of work. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? I'm just naming a few off the top of my head. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? The Birdcage, The Graduate, Working Girl, on television later, Angels in America, which I just replayed in his honor on HBO. Phenomenal. Stage work as well. The man was so talented, such a visionary, and so brilliant, and apparently a very kind man. Also noted to be the guy who discovered Whoopi Goldberg. I had forgotten that until Whoopi came on The View and was very emotional about his passing. He was the one that brought her one-woman show to Broadway all those years ago, and what a legacy that alone would have been. Wow, amazing. Mike Nichols, who passed away at the age of 83 last week. So remembering him, a couple of the sounds from the movies he made famous, the Oscar-winning song Let the River Run from Working Girl. Here's Carly Simon on the Amy Beth Arkley Show as we remember Mike Nichols.
Jerusalem. darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone. Of a neon light, split the night and touch the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one did disturb the sound of silence. Who said I do not know? Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you, but my words like silent raindrops fell, echoing in the wind of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. Time flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway wall. The tenement hall whispered the sound of silence.
Pair from Mike Nichols on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, Simon and Garfunkel, Sounds of Silence from the groundbreaking Graduate soundtrack, film released in 1967. And from 1988, Working Girl, Carly Simon's Oscar-winning song, Let the River Run. What a range Mike Nichols had. On the Twitter feed at AB Riots, Johnny Fever's Hangover chiming in, just saw Angels in America again. Wow, just wow, indeed. And Leah said, my favorite, The Birdcage. Amazing. How many films he made, how much talent he had, and what a range from comedies to heavy-duty dramas, all of them somehow traversing the trajectory of human emotion from one aspect to another. It's just amazing work he left behind. Mike Nichols, well done. Rest well, Mike. You've left behind so much for us to cherish and savor for many, 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 many years. Speaking of creativity, I'm so happy when the Inspiration to Action Challenge works for folks, and I want to give our shout-out today to Belgie up in Vermont, who says, working on some ceramics and an exhibition, you lit my spark again after a creative downturn for many years. So happy to hear it, Belgie. Keep going and keep us posted. If the Inspiration to Action Challenge is working for you, I'd love to give you a shout-out. Reach out via the website, amybetharkowitz.com. And if not, if you need a little cajoling in that direction, treat yourself to a creativity coaching and or counseling conversation. Start one with me. The first one is always on me, so it will be a freebie for you. And while you're at the website, too, you can peruse the Eliza Gordon Mystery Series. Both Killing Time and Dead Silent are available for download and e-book download and paperback. Makes a great cozy gift for the mystery lover in your life, and maybe for you if you have some downtime over the holiday season. You know, after Christmas, sometimes if people take that week off, there's some time to sort of decompress and relax. I don't know. I try to do it. By then you're so tired, though. You're like, let me watch a Christmas movie and get some cocoa going and That's about it, right? Anyway, we'll get through the holidays, no problem. Just pace yourself. That's the key, I think. Pace yourself and keep your expectations in a reasonable range. And have some peppermint. Peppermint apparently is the most popular flavor of the winter season, and most people associate peppermint with winter. 76% surveyed in a USA Today poll said that winter is the season they associate with peppermint the most. Yeah, I would guess so. Candy canes and peppermint mocha and all those good stuff. Schnapps. Spike your cocoa with some peppermint schnapps. Just the word schnapps is fun, right? So yeah, peppermint is a good. It's a soothing flavor though too. If you have a little peppermint scent, or just a touch of peppermint, it can kind of calm you down. Because I think we need a little calm in the hustle bustle merriment of the season. Just a little bit of calm. Just a little bit. Not a lot. Just a little. Some people aren't wired for calm. That's for sure. Speaking of such, we'll wish a happy birthday to Bette Midler, celebrating number 69 yesterday. She looks great. She's factory fresh. No, she looks great. She sounds great. And she's a great activist, too, a great environmental activist, among other things. And her career, of course, started with the singing, The Divine Miss M, way back when, you know, the old boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. Happy birthday, Bette.
Was a famous chopper down in our Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. Was a top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the grass. He's in the army now, a blown reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. They really brought him down because he could not jam. The captain seemed to understand, because the next year the cap went out and drafted the band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. A root, a toot, a tootly attitude. He blows eight to the bar. In boogie rhythm, he can't blow a note unless the bass and guitar is playing with him. And the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. He was some boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. When he played boogie woogie bugle, he was busy as a busy bee. When he played, he made the company jump eight to the bar. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. The da da doodly da da doodly da da doot doot. He goes eight to the bar. He's the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. He calls the boys to sleep with boogie every night and wakes them up the same way in the early bright. They clap their hands and extend at me, cause they know how he goes.
Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwesi Kwanzaa, a tip-top Tet, and a solemn, dignified Ramadan. Now a word from my God, our sponsor.
How you doing, girls? Long time no see. Listen, I've been to the doctor lately. Honey, I was at $40 to hear that from that guy. My analyst told me
what?
That I was right out of my head. The way you described it, he said, you'd be better off dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along he was all wrong. And I knew that he thought I was crazy. But you know, none. Oh, no. My analyst told me
what?
That I was right out of my head. But I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined when I would have advised to be out of my mind. And he said I was not no more if there ends a bus. Oh no.
Oh no.
They say as a child I appeared a little bit wild with all my crazy ideas. But I knew it was happening. I knew I was a genius. Supposedly tight. one night. My parents got frantic, didn't know what to do. But I saw some crazy things before I came to numb. So you'll think I was crazy. I may have been only three, but I was swinging. They all laughed at Graham Bell. They all laughed at Edison and Albert Einstein. So why should I feel sorry if they just didn't understand the reasoning and the logic that went on in my head? I had a brain, it was a fake, or just let them laugh at me when I refused to ride on all the double-decker buses. All because there was no driver on the top.
Yeah, you never hear a story like that in your life. Honey, that chick is bananas. Do you hear bananas? Oh, wait a minute. Bring me another banana back, honey, would ya? Oh, this is from the gym.
The doctor, I think that it's you instead, cause I got a thing that's so unique and new. It proves that I got the last laugh on you, cause instead of one head, ooh, I got two. And you know two heads are better than one.
Two bet songs are better than one, too. Bette Midler, Birthday Girl, plus one, Bugle, Boogie Woogie and Bugle Boy of Company B, and Twisted. I'm Amy Bethargui Show. Happy birthday, Bette Midler. Joni Mitchell does a great version of Twisted, too, on Court and Spark. Joni, by the way, put the kibosh, apparently, of Taylor Swift playing her in a biopic. You heard about this? Taylor Swift, back in April of 2012, was telling people that she was going to portray folk legend and Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Joni Mitchell in the big screen adaptation of Girls Like Us, which would focus on the impact of Joni Mitchell, Carole King, Carly Simon. And as recently as October of 2012, she admitted she was still eager to play her, but the movie hadn't been given the green light. Why? Well, Joni Mitchell says, "I squelched that," she told the Sunday Times. She nixed the biopic. "I said to the producer, all you've got is a girl with high cheekbones. It's just a lot of gossip. You don't have the great scenes." She also said of the source material written by Sheila Weller, "There's a lot of nonsense about me in books. Assumptions, assumptions, assumptions." So nothing has been confirmed, and the movie has sort of gotten shelves, so to speak. The Newsroom actress Alison Pill was also in talks to play Carole King in the film. Before the film was blocked, John Sayles was hired as a screenwriter and Kate Jacobs would direct it, but it seems to be a no-go, at least for now. There you go. Could be interesting. Sometimes things don't come out the way you want them to, and imagine seeing yourself up there on the screen, being portrayed by somebody else, or what people think is you. So I can understand Joni. She's an interesting person, that's for sure. So we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait on that. Somebody will do it eventually, but not for a while anyway. Hey, it is the Amy Beth Berkley Show. We're going to wind down a bit early today, I think. Got a couple more songs to squeeze in, and then we're going to sashay out of here. Lots to do in the holiday season, don't you know? Reach out via Twitter. A few minutes left at AB Rights or the phone line, 347-857-4505. Take a day trip.
one Tuesday. I'm looking tired and feeling quite sick. I felt like there was something missing in my day-to-day life. So I quickly opened the wardrobe, pulled out some jeans and a t-shirt that seemed clean. Topped it off with a pair of old shoes that were ripped around the seams. And I thought these shoes just don't suit me. Hey, I put some new shoes on and suddenly everything's right. In my eyes, and I felt like there were 2 days missing as I focused on the time. Then I made my way to the kitchen, but I had to stop from the shock of what I found. The room full of all of my friends all dancing round and round. And I thought, hello, new shoes, bye bye, blue. Hey, I put some new shoes on, and suddenly everything's right.
Somehow, so we got it on for you, and thanks for the reminder. Appreciate it. Hey, don't forget, if you missed the show or any part of it, want to hear it again, they're all archived at the Blog Talk Radio site. You can follow the Amy Beth Arkowe Show there. Also, download episodes at iTunes, NetNow, and the website, amybetharkowe.com. Also, we're officially booking for 2015, so if you have a compelling story to tell, Trudy's got the big book out already. Authors, filmmakers, musicians, theater impresarios, social crusaders, personal growth experts, and justice junkies, reach out at the website, amybetharkowe.com, and we'll try to get you on the Media Bites award-winning top podcast. Follow me on Twitter at AB Writes. Reach out to friend me on Facebook, of course, and you want to find me, you can find me. Thanks for the live tweeting. Thank you, Trudy Aurora, in the booth, ML at TCS headquarters. A lot of heavy-duty stories in the news, from the Ferguson fallout to the Bill Cosby situation, to the farce that is the Janelle and Ray Rice interviews. Don't want to get too heavy into it, but it starts with listening, compassion. Try to hear all sides and respect yourself and others. Drive safe, play nice, dream big. Hey, come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Happy holiday hijinks.